Upstart Nation. Happy Monday. Praise God. I bless your day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. God is so good. Amen. So good to see everybody jumping on. So good to see all of you. Good morning, Johnny. Good morning, Chastity. Good morning, Mary and Teresa. Abundant Life. Good morning. Cindy, good morning. Good to see you, sis. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Lana. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning. Glad you guys are jumping on. Hey, don't hide behind the curtains. Praise God. All right. Well, God's going to lead you. We're agreeing that you're led by the Spirit, Cindy. Hey, Nancy, good morning. And the rest of you, put a little emoji out there. Say hello. Don't hide. We need to know you're there. Praise God. There are people that will be encouraged by your hello. I've said this over the past couple of years on a couple of occasions. I've said, you're saying hello. You know, the scripture says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And, you know, a holy emoji, a holy hello, a holy how do you do, all right? So make sure you jump on and say hi, all right? Praise God. So Cindy, I'm going to give you a verse in John chapter 10. You already know this. I'm not telling you something you don't know. And as ever people are jumping on, you're making a big decision. The Lord's going to lead you. You're going to know in your spirit. You're going to know in your heart. Praise God. Amen. I like the howdy. Howdy, howdy. Amen. Praise God. Now, here is a word for you, Cindy, and it's a word for all of us. Let me find it. Oh, let me see. Praise God. Where is that? All right. I might need. Okay, John chapter 10, Cindy, John chapter concerning this decision that you're making, okay? John chapter 10, here's the word Jesus is speaking over you today. This is John 10, the part where Jesus says he is the good shepherd. He's your shepherd. He takes care of you like a shepherd over his precious lambs, his precious sheep, all right? And here it says, and when he brings out his own sheep, all right, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Let's say this out loud, and Cindy, you can join us. Say this out loud. The Lord is my shepherd. I am his sheep, and I know his voice. He goes before me, and I follow him in every decision I make, and the Lord I know his voice. Say it again. I know his voice in my spirit. Let's make that confession again. John 10, verse 4. The Lord has brought me out as his own sheep. He goes before me today. I follow him today because I know his voice. Oh, what a confession. Oh, what a confession. I know his voice is in your spirit. His voice is inside of you. Don't listen out here. Don't listen for some voice out here. The devil and demons will imitate the voice of Jesus and try to mess you up and all of that. Follow it on the inside. The voice is in your heart, in your heart. You'll know, you know that voice. It's a voice that brings peace. Okay, and he'll lead you about that decision. And it says, yes, they will by no means follow a stranger, verse 5, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Say this out loud. I will by no means follow a stranger or a misleading voice. Wow, what a statement. By no means. By no means. And then, but I flee from wrong voices, for I do not know the voice of strangers. Oh, you don't recognize those, you know, those thoughts and ideas that hit you, you know, come at your mind and you're wondering, you know, what is that? Nah, you don't know that. You don't recognize the voice. so you don't respond. You know, and it's an amazing thing. Back then, the shepherds in the Middle Eastern, still today, they would often gather in the city and put all of their flocks in a common sheep pen so the shepherds could fellowship with one another and hang out. But when it was time for that shepherd to take his particular flock back out to graze, each shepherd has a certain sound he makes, a certain call, maybe a click of the tongue, or maybe a whistle, or maybe a thing with the voice. It's all unique. And when that particular shepherd made that particular sound, only the sheep and that all those mixed up flocks, only the sheep of his flock would perk up and follow him. So I'm telling you right now, Jesus, your shepherd, has a specific voice, and you only follow that voice. You don't follow the voice of false shepherds. Praise God. It's good. Amen. Hey, Tina, good to see you, Tina. Praise the Lord. So we hear the voice of the shepherd. We follow his voice and his voice only. Praise God. Amen. And it is peace. When the Lord is speaking to you, primarily out of the Word, his voice out of the Word. Amen. It's peace. So Cindy, as you're making these big decisions, there's peace. There's peace. If you're thinking about a decision and it brings upset and turmoil and there's not a peace, wait a minute. You know, just calm down. Wait a minute. Say, Lord, I need to get clear on this. Help me to hear clearly hear you. And usually it's not words. He usually leads you by an inner witness. It's just an inner witness. The Spirit of God just bears witness with you. It's not necessarily words that you hear, but there's an inner witness. And Cindy, right now you have an inner witness about what to do about this. Man, that's awesome. Let's make this confession out of Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Praise God. That's what I love about Jumpstart, is we can take immediate, you know, situations people are dealing and facing with. And we can, you know, it's right now live. It's real time live. Now, we won't do live every day. There's days I'll do pre-recorded, and that's okay, because that's led by the Spirit too. But when we go live like this, I'm able to interact with you, and you're able to interact with me, and the Spirit of the Lord is able to give us right now real time direction and answers. It's awesome, Jumpstart Nation. Amen. Now, here's Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Okay, it says Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, you know, if you're a female, a woman, you're a son of God, you're a child of God. And sons of God, daughters of God, are led by the Spirit of God. So say this out loud: because I'm a daughter of God, because I'm a child of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God. You need to say that. You need to speak it. Say it again. I am led by the Spirit of God. Well, somebody says, how do I know I'm a child of God? How do I know I'm a son of God? Well, if you're not born again, you're not. You know, a lot of people say, you know, all of us are sons, or all of us are children of God. Everybody that's born, that's not true. There are two families in the earth: the family of Satan, those that have not accepted Jesus. Their spiritual nature is of the devil. Their internal, their spirit nature, the internal nature inherited from Adam, who gave this thing over to the devil. We inherited a sin nature, all right? But when you confess Jesus as Lord and accept his sacrifice, and you confess him as Lord, the Spirit of God takes out that sin nature, that satanic nature, that lying, murdering nature, and puts in the nature of God. You now have the nature of God in your spirit. You now have the love of God. You're now a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. Amen. Hey, Allison. So some people are children of the devil. They really are. That's their spiritual nature. That's what Jesus said in John 8:44. And others who have accepted Jesus and have been born again, John 3, they have a brand new nature, and they're sons and daughters of God. There are two spiritual families on the earth. It's not about black versus white. It's not about red and yellow and brown and all of that. It's not about that. It's not about the skin color. It's about what family. are you in spiritually? If you've accepted Jesus by faith and received Him as Lord, you've been born again and you have a new nature, the nature of God. You're literally a spiritual child of the Father. You have the Father's nature in your spirit. You have His nature in you. Now, if you're not born again, you know, somebody says, well, I am. I got water baptized. That doesn't mean anything. Water baptized doesn't change your spirit. It doesn't change you on the inside. If you didn't genuinely accept Jesus by faith, then you went down a wet child of Satan and came up a wet child of Satan. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm trying to help and say, well, I'm a member of this church. I'm a member of that church. I go to this church. So you could sleep in a garage, but that doesn't make you a car. Right? Amen. You could sleep in the barn, but that doesn't make you a cow. Right? You could sleep in a tool shed, but that doesn't make you an axe. Amen. And so you can go to church all your life and not be a child of God. But here's what 1 John. Now, if you've acknowledged Jesus, if you have confessed Him as Lord and made Him the Lord of your life, praise God, then you are a child of God. Now watch this. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Oh, the Father. I love calling Him Abba Father. You know, He might be God to the religious world. Oh, our God. Right? You can tell they don't know Him by how they address God, you know. He may be God to the world, but He's Father. Abba Father. Say that out loud. He is my Abba Father. He's my Daddy God. That's awesome. Hey, Celeste, howdy. How do you do? Praise God. So notice what manner of love, what kind of love the Father has bestowed on us. Wow. That we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it didn't know Him. You're so changed on the inside when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You become so transformed, so recreated, so regenerated on the inside. The world doesn't know you anymore because it didn't know Jesus. Even though He created the world, they didn't recognize Him. They killed Him. They killed their Creator. They killed the God of all creation. They crucified Him. They sacrificed Him. They didn't recognize who Jesus was. All they saw was His flesh. Amen. And in the same way, now that you're born again, you are now called a child of God. In one translation, you're called sons of God. So, Cindy, let's go back over here and look at this. Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, you are now a son and daughter of God. Therefore, you can boldly confess, I am led by the Spirit of God in every decision I make today. Let's say that out loud. Because I am a child of God, I am led by the Spirit of God. Man, that's good. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And then verse 15 of Romans 8 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby, by whom, by this spirit of adoption, we cry out, Abba, Father. You have a spirit of adoption. You're not an orphan. You've been adopted. Now, in that Roman Greek era, if you were naturally born to a father, he could disown you and exclude you from his inheritance. If you're naturally born, the father could disown and exclude you. But once you are adopted, back in that era, when you were adopted, that was a multi-year process. It was intense. But if a father adopted you in that era, the Roman Greek era, it was permanent, unalterable, unchangeable, and you received a permanent inheritance and could never be excluded. Being adopted was more sure than being naturally born. That's why Paul, knowing that, said, you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Now that you've been adopted, to be naturally born, you can be kicked out. But you're supernaturally born. You've been adopted by the Father through the blood of Jesus. The spirit of adoption has now changed you and recreated your spirit. Your innermost being, the real you, has been changed. You now have the spirit of adoption, and now you cry out for eternity. He's my Abba, Father. The Father cannot reject you ever. You have an eternal inheritance. Amen? And then, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, who is in your spirit, is constantly bearing witness with your spirit. Not with your flesh, not necessarily with your mind, but there's this inner witness. Now, if the Spirit of God is bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, then the Spirit of God in your spirit will bear witness with you concerning the decisions you need to make in life. You have a guide on the inside. You have a witness. So, Cynthia, when you are making decisions regarding things today, there's a witness. You'll know yes. You'll know there's a yes or a no or a wait. It may not be words, but there's this. The Holy Spirit's bearing witness because He wants you to prosper. He wants you to make prosperous decisions. And they'll always line up with the Word of God. You'll never get a witness from the Holy Spirit that contradicts the Word. You can always check that leading up with the Word of God. So what's the Word say? Now often I'll say to the Lord, Lord, show me, I need to know what the Word says about this. And it won't be a matter of days before He'll start showing me Scriptures. And things will become, He'll answer that through the Scripture. And my heart burns within me. Amen. Say this out loud. The Spirit Himself is bearing witness with my spirit right now that I am a child of God. Now make this declaration. The Spirit Himself is bearing witness with my spirit concerning every decision I need to make. I have a supernatural witness that is leading me. That's awesome. That is awesome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are being led. Say this out loud. I have a guide on the inside. Amen. Now, when that witness, and not when, but because you had this witness concerning every detail of life, there's a witness. Don't always listen for a voice, but there's a witness. And He'll lead you in the Scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Good morning, Jana. Amen, Allison. We have a guide on the inside. Notice this, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word rule here is the word we get for umpire. Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart. What does that mean? Well, when you're thinking about certain decisions, and when you think in your mind, I'm going to go this direction, I'm going to do this, I'm going to buy that, I'm going to whatever, I'm going to make this decision, and that umpire in there, there's not a peace about it. You don't have peace about it. The peace of God is saying, nope, that's not a strike, like an umpire behind a plate. That's a ball. That's missing the mark. Then listen to the umpire. When it's not God's best plan, your peace is disturbed in there. You know, there's the peace of God will kind of be like, nah. But when you get, as you wait on the Lord and you adjust your plan in your mind, as your mind is thinking about, and you say, okay, Lord, show me what I need to adjust about the plan I'm thinking about. And as you get closer and closer to what's best for you, the umpire in you, the peace of God in you will go, yeah, that's peaceful. Oh, that's peace. That's peace. I got peace on that. And man, when you know you've heard the Lord, when you know you've got that witness, when you even if it looks like the most dumbest decision you could make, when it looks maybe like that is a crazy, but you have this inner peace, this witness. The umpire said, yep, that's the way to go. Man, there's such a boldness when you know you've heard God. See, when you do what God says to do, it's God's responsibility to make it succeed. When you do what you want to do and what you insist on doing, there's no confidence that it'll succeed because it's your plan. It's up to you to make it happen. See, the most important thing we can do in life is to hear God. Because when we do what that witness tells us to do, it's up to God to make it happen. It's up to God to succeed. Amen. We want to follow God's plan because then it's God's responsibility, right? I heard Andrew Womack say this about this hundreds of millions of dollars of buildings, almost a billion. In 10 years, he's got a billion dollar vision. He said, you know, I don't worry about that at all. I'm not stressed about it. He said, God's the one that asked me to build this. I didn't come to him and say, I wanted to build a college. God came to him and said, I want you to build a college. He said, well, this is God's plan. So the pressure's on God. I'm just doing what he tells me to do. And that's the same thing, Cindy and the rest of you. We need to just know that we're doing what God... When you know that you're doing what God told you to do, there's an inner confidence that you can't fail because it was God's plan. Praise God. Amen. We don't want to bring our plan to God and ask him to bless it. We want to listen to that witness, follow the voice of the shepherd, and God's plan for you individually, it's already blessed. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. So say this out loud. I'm led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Hallelujah. Now, over here, the Lord, you know, we were talking Friday about living in the balance of grace and faith. In Romans chapter, Ephesians chapter 8, verse 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace, through faith. By grace, you have been saved. You've been healed, delivered, blessed, prospered through faith. Amen. Amen. So there's a balance between grace and faith. Grace is what God, that's God's part. Grace is what God has already done. Grace is all that you'll ever need. In grace, in the grace of God, is unmerited favor, is everything you'll ever need for your spirit, your soul, your emotions, your body, your money, your marriage. Everything you'll ever need has already been deposited into the grace account. God has already done it through Jesus. Grace is what God has already done. But did you know grace is not enough? It says, by grace you have been saved through faith. So what grace has provided, faith receives. Amen. And even that faith comes from God. So grace is what God has done, and faith is you reaching in and getting it. And so there's people that get out of balance with this. There's some people that are completely over on the grace side and ignore faith entirely. They just, you know, oh, it's grace. It's God's grace. Whatever God's will is, it's God's grace. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, whatever God wants to do, he'll do it. Blessed be his name. And we got people over in the grace camp that they really, it's called the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, and by his grace, he's going to do what he does. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I believe. And they're all the way over in the grace camp. Then there are people all the way over in the faith camp. It's up to me. It's all up to me to get God to move. It's up my faith. I've got to get my faith so strong. I got to get my faith so perfect and so right so that God will move. I've got to move God with my faith. I need to pray more, read my Bible more, study more, pray more, forgive more, love more, give, tithe more, go to church more. I've got to, my faith, I've got to use my faith to move God, and they move completely over into just complete self-sufficiency, complete works. It's all about me moving God. And but see, there's a balance. It's by grace, what God has already done for you, through faith, you reaching in and tapping in to what God has done. Say this out loud. By grace, I am saved through faith. What grace has provided, my faith receives. So we want to understand both sides of this. Listen, if God hasn't already done something by grace, if he hasn't already provided your healing, provided your financial needs, if he hasn't already provided your salvation, your forgiveness, if it's not already done, there is nothing for your faith to receive. It's like having a reservoir with no water in it. You can sit there and pump and pump and pump and pump and pump and pump. You can work that faith lever, pump and pump and pump. But if there is nothing already in the reservoir, in the well, you can pump all day long with your faith pump and there's nothing's going to come out. But right on the other hand, You have this well of fresh water. But if you don't go over there and pump it out with faith, then there's all that water, and you could literally die of thirst leaning against the well. And we see people in both camps. There are people over in the grace camp. It's all up to God. It's all up to God. They're in that camp, and that, you know, they could die of thirst. All grace, and they'll die. People that are over in the faith camp, they're just trying to pump, and move God with their faith. They'll die. You know, sodium, if you consume too much of that, it'll kill you. Sodium alone will kill you. Chloride. If you were to just consume too much chloride, in itself is deadly. It'll kill you, right? But if you combine sodium and chloride together, you get salt, and without it, you die. You know, too much emphasis on grace is deadly. Too much emphasis on faith, just on faith alone, is deadly. It'll kill you. But when you combine grace, what God has done, with faith, our receiving, what we need to do to activate it, without that balance of grace and faith, you'll die just like you die without salt. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I think that's awesome. Praise God. So grace is what God has done. Faith is what we do to activate and receive it. Praise God. This is good. This is so good. What grace has already provided in Christ, faith receives. If grace hasn't already put it there, faith has nothing to receive. Let's make this declaration. Grace is what God has already done. Jumpstart Nation, say this out loud. God's grace has everything in it that I will ever need. In the reservoir of grace is everything I need for my spirit, my soul, my body, my money, my life. It's all in there. God has already done it. By faith, I am receiving and drawing out of that reservoir of grace. Now, we can become more skillful at that. Some people have learned to use a teaspoon to draw from grace, and they get teaspoons full. Teaspoons out of that well of grace. That well of abundance, whatever it is. Others have learned to get a tablespoon. They're doing better. Others got rid of the tablespoon and they've got them a cup. And they're drawing out cups full. Others have learned to flow in the faith of God. And they're taking gallon jugs and they're getting gallons. They're drawing gallons out of that grace account, out of that well of grace. You know what? There's others. They're bringing big old water trucks and sucking truckloads out of that well of grace. They're just pumping it out, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you see, the body of Christ is in two camps. There are those in the faith camp. They're all focused on their faith. Faith, faith, faith. I got to move faith. And they get so caught up in faith that they lose the revelation of grace. Then we got others over here in the grace camp. Grace, grace, grace. They've become passive. They become totally passive. Now, look at Ephesians, and I want to do this as we go. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Make this declaration. By grace, I have been saved, made whole, preserved, prospered, protected through faith. What grace has already provided, I'm drawing with faith. But notice the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse says this, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The faith, even the faith that you need to draw out of the reservoir of grace, even that faith came by the grace of God. It all comes from God. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. This is awesome. Titus chapter 2, man, we're almost out of time. Titus 2, 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation," and the word salvation, sozo, S-O-Z-O, is health, wholeness, protection, provision, abundance, prosperity. All right. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Every man, all men. Right? Now, is grace alone enough? No, because even though grace, the grace of God, has appeared to every human being in one form or another, God says it has, not every man is enjoying the grace, that grace that's appeared. Why? Because they haven't taken faith and drawn from it. They haven't activated it. They haven't appropriated it. So grace alone is not enough. Grace alone is not enough. We need to appropriate it. We need to find out what belongs to us. And that's what we're going to spend this week doing. We need to activate it. We need to access it. We need to get it operating in our lives. And there's ways to do that. All right, say this out loud. The grace of God that has appeared to all men has brought salvation, preservation. Some of you aren't speaking. You need to be speaking the word. Don't become passive. You got to speak it. That's part of faith. Faith is what activates grace. Grace is faith. Grace is voice activated. Grace is voice activated. Amen. I don't know why I said that, but that's what I said. Say it out loud. Say this out loud. The grace of God that has appeared to all men has brought health and healing, prosperity and preservation, and protection to me. Make your lips do the walking. Praise God. Make your tongue do the talking. There's a miracle in your mouth. You tap into that well, that reservoir of grace with your words, with your mouth. Oh, say it again. The grace that brings health and healing, preservation and soundness, prosperity and protection has brought it into my life. It's working in my life. Praise God. Man, we're out of time. We're just going to have to pick up on this. Praise God. Chrissy Cricket, amen. Isn't it good news? It's good news, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do one more minute, and we're going to, because I'm over by four, one more minute, Romans chapter 5. You know what? I'm just not. Hello, Chrissy. I'm not going to do it. We're going to go and pick up on this tomorrow. By grace, through faith, what grace has already done, faith appropriates, faith activates, faith accesses it, all right? Praise God. Your faith doesn't move God. God's not going to heal anybody else because He's already provided healing. He's waiting for you to receive the healing He's already provided. You don't have to move God with faith. You don't have to try to move God with your fasting and praying and all that. You need, your faith moves you to receive from God. Man, we got so much more to talk about. Love you guys. Have an awesome, oh, happy anniversary, Nancy. Amen. Thank you, Tina. So good to see you. I hope you come back tomorrow. We will see you tomorrow. Have an awesome rest of your day.